gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. It is written, I manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. It is written, Holy Father, keep them in thy name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. It is written, I pray not that thou shouldst take them from the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. For these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and lovest them even as thou lovest me. Let there be no divisions among you. Let party names no more, the Christian world o'erspread, Gentile and Jew and bond and free, are one in Christ their head. Among the saints on earth, let mutual love be found, heirs of the same inheritance, with mutual blessings crowned. Thus will the church below resemble that above, where streams of pleasure ever flow, and every heart is love. Ladies and gentlemen, remember Paul said, let there be no divisions among you.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from John 17, united in Christ. The 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John is the chapter that has the prayer of Jesus for unity in several areas. For one thing, there was unity between the Father and the Son when the plans were made to create the universe. Unity in creation. In his prayer, Jesus reminded the Father that he loved him before the world was. And again he said, before the foundation of the world. Before the world was, and before the foundation of the world, there was God, and there was Jesus Christ. Genesis begins by telling us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that hath been made. Since Moses said, God did it, and John said, Jesus did it, God the Father and God the Son were united in the creation of the universe. If anyone would ask, why do you believe that the universe was created by God the Father and Jesus Christ, rather than by evolution, I would give an apostolic answer. In Romans 1, Paul gives the most sensible explanation for creation when he says, for the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity. And then Paul said this, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of image of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And then he finishes this thought with God's view of unbelief. Wherefore God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In the book of Job, God asked Job a hard question that questioned the reasoning of his finite mind. He asked him, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth, and the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy?" When God and the Lord Jesus Christ created the universe, before man was created, the morning stars sang together. What they sang must have sounded like, "How great thou art!" And they shouted something that sounded like, "Wow! Way to go, Lord! Way to go!" Then again, there is also unity in this chapter in the humanity and divinity of Jesus. In this prayer, Jesus reminded the Father that he was he whom thou didst send. When Gabriel made the birth announcement of Jesus to Mary, he said, "The power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore the holy thing that is begotten shall be called the Son of God." Jesus was human in the flesh and divine in spirit. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and his flesh always submitted to the will of his divinity. Sometimes the flesh was in the ascendancy, and at other times it was the spirit that was in the ascendancy. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was his flesh that said, "Let this cup pass away from me." But it was his spirit that said, "Not my will, but thine be done." This prayer was prayed three times, and the result was the same each time. The flesh always agreed with the divinity. After fasting 40 days, the devil tempted him to turn stones into bread. Now that was a great temptation. His flesh wanted to do it. Later, Jesus demonstrated his power to do this when he fed the thousands with a few loaves and fishes. In this temptation, the flesh said, "Go ahead, Lord, do it. Turn that stone into bread." But it was his divinity that said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The flesh agreed with the divine. It was a great temptation when the devil took him to the pinnacle of the temple and asked him to jump. What a demonstration of his power that would be. The world would follow a man like that. "Bypass the cross. This is the way." The flesh cried loudly, "Jump, Lord, jump, show them." The spirit said, "Thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God." The flesh and the divine agreed. Then when the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, what a temptation. The devil showed him the United States of America. He showed him the Statue of Liberty. He showed him Washington, D.C. He showed him the Rotunda. He showed him the Pentagon. He showed him a country from the prairie to the Purple Mountains' majesty, from sea to shining sea, and said, "Jesus, it's all yours. You can have it if you worship me." The flesh said, "Take one bow, Lord, just one. Take it, and it's yours." But the spirit said, "Thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." That was unity with the flesh and spirit in every temptation. Now we take notice of the unity that exist in the kingdom of darkness. Unity in the kingdom of darkness. Jesus mentioned this when he said in his prayer, I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then he said, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. The devil is opposed to everything in the program of salvation of the world. And he is not alone. All areas of the kingdom of darkness are united in the program to damn your soul. Paul mentions several areas of the devil's kingdom, principalities, powers, rulers of this world's darkness, and a host of wickedness in heavenly places. When Pilate, the governor of Judea, was made aware that Jesus was a Galilean, he saw a way out of his problem. This is no concern of mine. Pilate sent him to Herod, king of Galilee, who himself was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod had always wanted to meet Jesus, and at last he had his chance. He wants Jesus to show him some tricks. Work a miracle for me, Jesus. One rock song has a line of derision that is spoken by King Herod that says, Come on, Jesus, I'm no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. Jesus would not oblige. So Herod sent him back to Pilate. Luke says Pilate and Herod up to this time were enemies, but now they became friends. The enemies of Jesus always unite against Christ. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were enemies of Jesus. Paul tells us of the Sadducees that they did not believe there were angels or spirits. The Pharisees believed both. They hated each other, but formed an alliance in their all-out effort to crucify Jesus. The enemies of Christ always unite in their effort to destroy Jesus or the church, the body of Christ. The kingdom of darkness is just as real as any physical nation. The devil has convinced millions he does not exist. The only reason you cannot see the devil and many of his demons that surround us at all times is because they live in a different frequency. Turn on the radio to the AM dial and you hear this program. If you turn the switch to the FM dial, you may get another program at the same place on the dial as the AM station. It's all in the difference of frequency. If we could somehow switch from the physical frequency to the spiritual frequency, you would see the devil, Satan, and a host of demons leering at you, their forked tongues and their cold-blooded eyes, with that malevolent gaze concentrated on you. They hate you with a hatred that can only come from the depths of the bottomless pit. Never, 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 never forget. All the forces and energies of the kingdom of darkness are united against us. Now we must notice another area of unity. The apostles of Jesus Christ are united in their belief that the Scripture is the inspired Word of God. Unity of the inspired Word. In this prayer of unity, Jesus prayed, I have manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou hast given them to me, and they have kept thy word. And then he repeated it again. The words which thou gavest me I have given unto them, and they receive them, and know of a truth that I came forth from thee. And they believe that thou didst send to me. To make sure the apostles gave the right message, Jesus had already told them when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, will guide you into all the truth and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you. Jesus did not trust the finite memory of the apostles, so he promised to send the Holy Spirit to remind them what he said. Without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, when Matthew wrote the story of the feeding of the 5,000, he may have said, "Hey, John, how many fish did Jesus use at that big feed?" John may have said, "Oh, I don't remember. I think it was a boatload and a half loaf of bread." We can be sure, when you read the scriptures, that what you read is the real story, because the Holy Spirit brought all of it back to their memory. It was Paul who put up this red flag regarding other books that claimed to be the Word of God when he said, "If any man preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed." The apostles were definitely agreed on the Word of God as the only inspired revelation from God to fallen man. There was none other. And then notice also there is unity in the decision as to who would die on the cross. Unity of the Trinity in sending Jesus to the cross it was. It was the Father's idea to send Jesus to die on the cross. In the Garden of Eden, God said, "The seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent shall bruise his heel." In this prayer, Jesus said that life eternal was to know God and him whom thou didst send, even Jesus Christ. God said somebody has to go and redeem the human race. And God said Jesus is the one to do it. Paul also tells us how Jesus agreed with that decision in Philippians 2. "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." One more note. We also know that Jesus agreed with this plan because of that great summit meeting on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah spoke of Jesus and of his decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. Two men had come down from glory for this summit meeting, and the only thing they discussed, the only thing on the table that day, was the crucifixion that was engineered by the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. There was complete unity between the Father and the Son about the price of our salvation and who it was that was to pay that price. And then there was also unity about the judge on the judgment day. Unity on the judgment day. That decision was unanimous also as to who will preside on the judgment day. In this prayer, Jesus said the Father had given him authority over all flesh, that to all whom thou hast given him, he should give eternal life. And Paul on Mars Hill informed them that God had appointed a day in which he would judge the world in righteousness through that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all the world, and that he had raised him from the dead. Jesus also said that he would be the judge on that day. When John recorded the words of Jesus, how he said, "For neither doth the Father judge any man, but he hath given all judgment unto the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him." According to Jesus, you cannot honor the Heavenly Father unless you honor Jesus at the same time. These statements give verification as to whom it is that shall sit on the great white throne, as recorded by John in Revelation, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no room for them. Then there is that final event where we learn that if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. And now, ladies and gentlemen, last of all, we noticed, and we must notice, that there was unity in this chapter in the body of Christ, between the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unity in the church. Most of the longest recorded prayer of Jesus concerning the unity of all those who would believe on him through the word of the apostles, that prayer of Jesus was answered on the day of Pentecost. The day the church began, they were all one. Jews had come from all parts of the world and had come to the feast. Thousands heard the apostles preach the first gospel sermon. According to the definition of the gospel, Paul said, the gospel is identified as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The apostles recounted that story and accused those people of killing Jesus. When they heard what they had done to the Son of God, they were terrified and cried out in anguish, asking what they must do. They were told to repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter didn't try to explain what he meant, because what he said was so easy to understand, anybody could understand it. And he must have figured if he tried to explain it, people wouldn't understand the explanation. They then that received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. All 3,000 did the same thing, believing that Jesus had died for their sins. They all repented, they all were baptized, and three chapters later it was said, they were all of one heart and soul. The prayer of Jesus had been answered. I pray that they may all be one. Now today it is obvious that something went wrong. How can we account for all the divisions and all the various denominational names and practices? I believe the answer is very simple. In Revelation 22, 18 and 19, we read, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part of the tree of life, of the holy city, which are written in this book. Some false prophets add to the word of God, and some false prophets take away from the word of God. Who are these people who either add to or take away from the word of God? The answer is modern day Pharisees and Sadducees. The ancient as well as modern Sadducees were liberals. There were certain parts of the Word of God they did not regard as inspired of the Holy Spirit and took away from the book of this prophecy. God has promised that they shall not eat of the tree of life. The ancient as well as modern Pharisees believed the Word of God. They believed the Word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but then they added to the Word of God by adding their opinions to the Word and then withdrawing fellowship from everybody that did not agree that their opinion was inspired of the Holy Spirit. God has promised to send some plagues to them. Will the followers of Jesus ever be united again? The answer is yes. Unity will come once more, and we will all be of one heart and soul. Because Paul said, Jesus must reign till he hath put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be abolished is death. Since division is an enemy, it will be put under his feet also. Just before the trumpet sounds and death is abolished. And only then can it be said and will it be said, we are of one heart and soul, and united again. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.